Hello, this is Ryan from The Thing You're Currently Watching. Please enjoy this pitch meeting for Got Good 2 that I made several years ago. And then stick around after because I'm going to talk about it and stuff.
While you're doing that, I'm going to draw a mantis.
So, you have a Guardians of the Galaxy sequel script for me.
Yes, sir, I do. So we're going to start this one off with the Guardians fighting a giant space monster while Baby Groot stars in a Baby Groot toy commercial.
I love it when movie scenes are also commercials.
I know you do.
So why are they fighting a space monster?
Well, these gold people called the Sovereign hire them to protect some batteries and they said they couldn't risk losing any of their own people.
Okay.
But then Rocket steals some of the batteries, so they chase the Guardians with their fleet of remote-controlled spaceships.
They have a fleet of remotely controlled spaceships?
Yeah, pretty cool, right?
Why didn't they use those to fight the space monster?
What do you mean?
Well, if their battle technology specifically designed to not put them in danger, why did they hire the Guardians in the first place?
Because.
That works.
Anyway, then this dude Stakar tells Yondu that his funeral is gonna suck.
Oh, so Yondu is gonna die?
Oh, is it that predictable?
Having a character tell another one about his funeral makes me feel like we're gonna see his funeral.
We're gonna see his funeral.
Well, at least he's not one of the most well-liked characters.
Actually, by the end of the movie, people are gonna like him a lot. He's gonna have this thing where he says that he's Mary Poppins and stuff.
Oh, Mary Poppins is tight.
Oh, that sounded kind of weird.
Yeah, as soon as I said that, it sounded weird.
Ugh.
So we're actually gonna kill off a well-liked character. That's kind of a first for us.
Yeah, and it's really gonna come as a surprise because all the main characters in this movie are pretty much invincible.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, they're gonna survive so many things that nothing's gonna feel like a threat anymore.
What kind of stuff are we talking here?
Oh, just stuff like crashing their ships, smashing headfirst into rocks, getting crazy beams of whatever go through them, violently hitting trees, getting struck by monster tentacles, being swallowed, traveling through space at dangerous speeds, being literally next to an explosion, getting their ship shot thousands of times.
That's a lot of stuff.
Oh yeah, it's gonna feel like a cartoon.
People like cartoons.
Anyway, in this movie, we're gonna have Peter meet his dad, and he's a celestial being named Exposition.
His name is Exposition?
Oh, no, sorry, it's Ego. I got confused because 90% of his lines are exposition.
Wow.
Yeah, so he brings them to his planet, which he is, and then he shows them a PowerPoint presentation explaining that he banged Peter's mom.
That's kind of weird.
Super weird, and so most of the Guardians are gonna hang out on Ego for a good chunk of the movie.
What are they gonna do there?
Not much.
Huh.
But there is this character, Mantis, who's like Ego's servant, and she's like, I have to tell you guys something about Ego, and it's really bad.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, but then she's not gonna tell them for like 30 minutes of screen time.
Wow, really stretching this out, aren't ya?
I am.
So what else happens in the movie?
Well, I also split up the Guardians so I could stretch it out even more.
Smart.
So Rocket and Groot and Yondu are being held prisoners by the Ravagers, and then Yondu is gonna murder them all with his arrow.
The people that were his allies like 2 days prior?
Right.
Oh, that's so dark.
No, there's gonna be cool music playing and it's gonna be slow-mo.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, it's gonna be a really fun time.
Amazing.
Yeah, taking lives while music plays is gonna be a really big part of this film.
Death is great. Hail Satan.
What?
So how does the movie end?
Well, Ego is gonna show Peter another PowerPoint presentation about how he banged a bunch of aliens.
Kind of inappropriate.
Yeah, and then Mantis is gonna reveal that he's been killing all his children because they didn't hold the celestial gene.
So she's kind of complicit in that because clearly she knew it was wrong to be killing kids.
Yeah, for sure, but I think people are gonna like her anyway.
It's gonna be tough to get people to like a character that's complicit in wide-scale child murders.
Actually, super easy, barely an inconvenience.
What do you mean?
Well, she's gonna act super innocent and adorable.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, she's even gonna join the Guardians at the end of the film.
That is so sweet. I don't even care about those dead kids anymore.
Nobody will.
Wow.
So anyway, Ego needs Peter's celestial genes to move his plan of expansion across the universe forward. And Peter is into it, but then Ego admits that he killed Peter's mom.
Why does he do that?
Well, because I needed Peter to find out somehow, and so having Ego just say it unprompted felt like an easy way to do that.
Fair enough.
So then Peter is devastated, and he wants to kill Ego.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, finding out that his dad killed his mom, that's gonna be a dark moment.
You'd think so, but then Ego's gonna turn into David Hasselhoff.
Oh, undercutting emotional scenes with silliness is our bread and butter.
Yeah, feeling emotions sucks.
Also, I like that finding out a key fact about his mom's death is what drives the climax.
Yeah, I think it might be a first for Marvel, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, other than Iron Man and Captain America Civil War.
Maybe because it's so recent, people won't notice.
Maybe.
So anyway, then everyone's gonna join together and defeat Ego.
Wow, how do they manage that?
They destroy his brain.
Okay, but the fight takes place on a planet that is him.
Yeah, he shouldn't really be able to lose.
Doesn't sound like he should.
But it's not like anyone's gonna really look into the science of this, you know? It's just for fun.
Right, it's a movie with superpowers and talking raccoons. You'd have to be a real killjoy to check if the science works. There you go, that's a little mantis kind of.
Very suspicious insect. Why are you always praying? What did
Did you sin that much?
So Gott Cavall 2, I thought was a, as far as sequels go, a pretty good sequel.
I think it's pretty common knowledge that after you have a really good first movie, it can be tough to make a second one that lives up to it. Look at James Cameron. It took 15 years for him to be like, but what if water instead of tree?
It also really, I feel like the characters felt pretty invincible in this movie. Like this thing going through his chest, that's pretty intense. Mantis just getting smacked in the face with this kind of takes away a bit of the sense of danger when that stuff just kind of happens a lot. But overall, I think the movie works pretty well, and James Gunn uses his cheat code again, and it works again. Because if you hadn't noticed, James Gunn has a little trick he uses to make you like his characters. He rightfully gets a lot of credit for the music and his stuff, but what he does with that music is, I think, the little cheat code. He makes the characters dance, and not very elegant dancing, just kind of the silly dancing you do when you're really enjoying music, and that's very endearing. He did that in the first movie. It's the first thing we see Star-Lord do. He does it in the climax. Baby Groot dances in the post-credit, Baby Groot dances at the beginning of this movie. The whole Peacemaker intro is amazing, and it's because look how silly and fun that is. I like all these people, even though they're awful, a lot of them. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Guardians 3 yet, the characters dance, and it's lovely. It's the dancing cheat code, it's the new Save the Cat, it works wonders. I think this is one of the first movies where the tight thing is kind of somewhat inappropriate, and I've definitely leaned into that more. I think this is one of the first instances where I'm like, oh, sometimes it'll sound a little perverted, and that might be fun. Here's the thing I would do differently after rewatching this, a little writing note for myself. I'm seeing as I watch these older pitch meetings that sometimes I would have a tendency to over-explain jokes. Look, this section right here. They have a fleet of remotely controlled spaceships?
Yeah, pretty cool, right?
Why didn't they use those to fight the space monster?
What do you mean?
Well, if their battle technology specifically designed to not put them in danger, why did they hire the Guardians in the first place?
Because. That works.
If I were writing that today, that would just be, they have a fleet of remote-controlled spaceships? Why didn't they just use those to fight the monster?
Because. That works.
I don't think I needed to go spoon feed you guys that original joke. You guys are above spoon level. Fork level for sure. You guys can fork yourselves. Question time. Are you happy with the evolution of the characters in pitch meeting, or did it get away from you at some point? Is there any aspect of the world building slash bits that you really liked and would want to bring back? For example, producer guys' therapy sessions, ghosts, demonic possessions. Yeah, I'm generally happy with how the characters turn out. I just kind of do whatever I need to do with them, depending on the pitch meeting. Sometimes one is more insisting or argumentative. Sometimes it's the other character. I don't pigeonhole myself. Why? No one should ever be in a hole with a pigeon. They're vicious creatures. In terms of bringing back bits and stuff, you know, every pitch meeting I make sure that I say something's tight and that something is super easy, barely an inconvenience. Other than that, it's just kind of, you know, I just recently remembered that yeah is a thing. I kind of forgot about that for a while, so I'll probably be bringing that back soon. And the bigger bits also, sometimes if I'm doing a sequel, I'll go back and see if there are any specific bits that I did in the original so that then I can build off of them. Like in some of them, there's bits about buying Canada. Nothing's really shelved, and there's nothing that I'm really like, oh, I can't wait to bring that back. It's really just, I'm free to spread my wings like a pigeon. Do you get recognized out in public? I do. And a funny thing that they don't tell you about when you start getting recognized in public is that it makes you a little paranoid. Not necessarily in a negative way of like, oh my god, they're out to get me, but as human beings, when you're walking down the street, you often just like, you scan someone's face. I think it's a natural thing to do. But now sometimes if someone is looking at me, I have to do extra calculations of, does this person know pitch meetings or my own channel? Or did I go to elementary school with them? Or is my nose bleeding and they're like, ugh. You know, it's just an extra layer. But everyone I've ever met out on the street who has recognized me has been very, very nice. So if you do come up to me on the street, if my face is like, that's not because I'm freaked out, it's because I'm analyzing whether I went to elementary school with you. Ryan, can you start putting random things on that green screen behind you? Maybe different characters from the Ryanverse just waving or peeking in on us? Is that... We good with that? Is that... Should I, like, redo that? Because I feel like that's enough. That's about it for this video. Thank you for watching, and please leave some comments down below. That's helpful when I'm putting together these videos. I'll see you next time, and be careful out there for these little dudes. They're up to something.